Shalom, and I welcome you to the voice of one witness, my daughter Shelley,
who's my compatriot. And you notice that I'm wearing my Native American jewelry.
Yes, I noticed.
Now, beautiful. This piece, we have a lot of close ties with Native Americans.
Oh, yeah.
Shelley's father was a very handsome Cherokee. And, of course, my mother was a part Choctaw, but she married a really white man, so you can't hardly tell it in me. But what I'm wearing today was, we have friends in every tribe. We have meetings out here, Prayer Mountain. We have Native meetings where they come and make fry bread and sell jewelry and just worship God.
Oh, yes.
And so now this right here, this piece was given me recently by our friends in the Navajo tribe, mm-hmm. Casey Johnson. She comes here, and she's a youth pastor, and I think they brought about 16 young Navajos to our Champions for Christ meeting this past summer. So anyway, this piece she gave me, and I'm not sure about it. I think it was made by her father or somebody she knows.
Very special.
But I wanted to wear it because Native American people understand covenant.
Yes, they do.
And when they cut covenant, I don't care if you're a white man and you cut covenant with a Native, mm-hmm. and you mix the blood, they're your brother. That's what they call you, brother. And you are a brother to them just as surely as one born in the flesh. That's what it really means, that blood is thicker than water. The blood of a covenant is thicker even than the water of the new birth that you were born of. So these great covenant people, they understand covenant. The peoples of the book understood covenant. They were Eastern peoples. The book is an Eastern book. We have Western minds, and sometimes we have to, well, definitely we have to, because God told us
It's the greatest need.
He said, renew your mind.
Yes, we must renew
your mind. Now, you were reading Brother Copeland's book on covenant, mm-hmm. and Greg Stevens, and he said, there's a language of covenant.
Yes.
There's a language of covenant, and that language of covenant has a predominant word, and that word is hesed. That word is chesed. And because you're in covenant, then the obligations of that covenant are chesed.
Yes.
There's reciprocal action. And so we've been reading a lot in the ESV, and we're going to read some more scriptures there. But let's just, for instance, read Psalm 23.
Okay.
Right now.
All right.
And I've got that here. I'm going to read it to you out of a Hebrew translation into English. A Song of David. Of course, they always begin verse 1 with the Hebrews is the introduction. Hashem, that means they always say that rather than Jehovah. They don't want to write that. Is my shepherd. I shall not lack. In lush meadows he lays me down. Beside tranquil waters he leads me. He restores my soul. He leads me on the paths of justice. For his name's sake. Though I walk in the valley overshadowed by death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in full view of my tormentors. You anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. May only goodness and kindness, they translate it, but it's the word chesed. May only goodness and chesed pursue me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of Hashem for long years. So pursue. That word is like, relentlessly, mm-hmm. not just they're tagging along.
No,
good and chesed. No, they're pursuing me. God, there's a song that's written that we sing today. Mm-hmm. Your goodness is running after me, mm-hmm. running after me,
absolutely.
Running after
it's
me.
Truth.
And it's chesed.
Yes,
he's wanting to. He delights in chesed. He wants to fulfill the blessings of the covenant in your life. Your part, what do? You walk in the commandment,
mm-hmm.
the commandment of love.
Absolutely.
So you said you had something on this show?
Oh, well, just this morning, I was having my cup of coffee, and I set the alarm for 6, so I have an hour before getting ready. And I thought about the attributes of chesed. What verb is attached to it? For example, it says he crowns us.
With chesed.
So there's a verb of crowning. With
the act of crowning.
The uh-huh. act of crowning associated with
the act of surrounding you.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
With chesed.
And then I thought of Psalm 23, where you've just read how it pursues us. So it has legs.
It runs at
And it
us.
Has an attitude. And it wants to win the game by catching us and overtaking us. So I thought, I wonder what the law of first mention, the first time the word pursue, if chesed is overtaking us, where is it first mentioned in the Word of God? Because we know from studying in 3BI school that the law of first mention, when a word is first introduced into the Word of God, no matter how many times that same word is referred to, you can always go back to the first time and see that it never loses that definition. There's a fragrance. There's an attachment to that definition. So I found it this morning. While having my coffee and watching hummingbirds, I looked at this beautiful word. And the first time it's mentioned, Mom, is when Joseph is second in command in Egypt, and he has not revealed himself to his brothers. And he tests them, as we can well read. And in Genesis chapter 44, verse 4, the first time the word pursue is introduced in the Word of God. Now remember, this has to do with Psalm 23, where chesed is coming after you. And it's when Joseph said to his men, go pursue my brothers, overtake them. And then as you go on to read, it says that Benjamin, the youngest, had the cup buried in his bag.
Mm-hmm. So he told the Egyptians to go and pursue his brethren who had come for bread.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So imagine with all of the passion and all of the energy of this man in high authority, they had the fastest runners, they had the fastest horses, and with that kind of ability and that kind of mindset.
Go and overtake them.
Mm-hmm. Gobble up the ground.
Mm-hmm.
No distractions. Mm-hmm. You have a purpose. And that is what chesed is overtaking us.
Mm-hmm. It's pursuing us like that.
Pursuing us. We can't outrun it. It is overtaking us. I remember a certain situation without going into detail very briefly. I said, Lord, the peace that passes all understanding is guarding my heart. Mm-hmm. And my mind. I almost have to pinch myself.
And that's a covenant promise.
That's it. And that's what he told me.
Mm-hmm.
He says it's based on my promise of covenant with you.
All of his promises.
It says a benefit.
We have a better covenant based on better promises. Covenants have promises. Mm-hmm. And his chesed, he's obliged to keep those promises. When you meet the conditions, what are the conditions? You walk in his love. You walk
in
his
light. Cast all your cares on him.
Now, I want to talk a little bit, Shelley, about our new covenant. Now, covenants in the Bible, especially God's covenant with man, is a blood covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Strength of blood. The life is in the blood. So I wrote this book, The Blood and the Glory. And the blood of Jesus was not an afterthought of the Creator, taken in surprise at the fall of man. He wasn't surprised. He knew man was going to fall. God never plays catch-up to Satan. If he did, Satan could lead God. No. Before God created man, he knew he would fall. Before God formed man, he ordained his redemption with precious blood. The Bible says, bless the Lord, that this is from 1 Peter 1, 18 through 20. For as much as you were redeemed, not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb slain without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is another scripture which tells us that he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So before the world, from Genesis 2 on, before this world was reformed or recreated, he knew man was going to fall before he made Adam. So he had already slain a lamb.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how could that be? How could that be? Well, we'll see in a minute how it can be. Divine plans originate in the Father. Somewhere in the divine council rooms of heaven, the Father must have put forth his plan for man. Man would be a spirit made in God's image, on God's order and kind. Therefore, man would be able to fellowship with God. Man would be able to love God. Man would be created to work with God and to have dominion over the works of God's hands. For such high eternal purpose, man could not be a robot. Spirit man would be given a soul, a mind, a will, and emotions. Fallen Lucifer would tempt man's will. Man would fall into the tempter's hand. God knew that would happen. It wasn't his plan, but he knew it would happen. Mm-hmm. But God would redeem man, buy him back. God would design man for redemption in his creation. God would make man a creature of blood. God was not restricted to create creatures of blood. Angels were not created with blood. Lucifer didn't have any blood.
Right.
God and Jesus, before he came to earth, didn't have any blood.
Right. A body you prepared for me. So mm-hmm. before that, he didn't.
Before that, he had no blood. Mm. God would call man Adam, connecting him in the wonderfully revealing Hebrew language to blood. The word for blood is dam. Mm-hmm. So he's Adam. He's a creature of blood. Mm-hmm. And he would make him from the dirt of the ground, his body. And the dirt of the ground is Adama. Adama.
Sure.
And both blood and ground are red.
Yes.
And the color red is Adam.
Adam.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. So you have Adam, and you have the red earth, mm-hmm. Adama. And you have blood dome, you have blood dome, and he's a creature of blood, Adam. So it's all together, all together. And God would put spirit, man, and his soul into a body of flesh made of the dust of the ground. The life of the flesh he would put in the blood. It is written in Leviticus 17 that the life of the flesh is in the blood.
Yes.
Leviticus 17, 11 and 14. Man's body is called an earthen vessel, mm-hmm. and it can be broken.
Yes, it can. Mm-hmm.
And blood can be poured out of this earthen vessel, mm-hmm. a life for a life.
Yes.
If a divine one, now this is back in the council rooms of heaven, before God made man, we know this from Hebrews 9:14. Mm-hmm. I'll read you that scripture in a minute.
Okay.
In some eternal moment, in some heavenly place, the one we call Savior agreed to fulfill the Father's great plan of redemption. First in heaven, when it was spoken, and eventually taking on flesh at Calvary, our Lord Jesus offered himself through the eternal Spirit without spot to God. How do we know that? Hebrews 9:14. Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ...
Glory.
There you have Jesus,
mm-hmm.
the Messiah. That's
yes.
what it means, the anointed
yes,
one.
Yes, the anointed one.
Through the eternal Spirit, that's the Holy Ghost, offer himself without spot to God. That's the Father. Here's the Trinity right in this verse. Mm-hmm. To purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. If one will go and live a perfect life
yes.
and pay the price.
Yes.
Of justification, then I'm going to make man and redeem him.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus, the Messiah, offered himself. Two-thirds of these scriptures are prophecy. Most of them have been fulfilled. But we're going to do what Peter says. He says, pay attention to the prophets because they're like a light shining in a dark place.
3BI, Billy Brim Bible Institute. You can earn your degree with an emphasis in Bible prophecy from one of the leading Bible prophecy teachers of our time. For more information, visit billybrim.org/3BI. Billy Brim now has a YouTube channel. Search under the channel name Official Dr. Billy Brim. Subscribe today and get the latest updates, uploads, and lives to the channel. Feed your faith and walk in the light of the Word.
Thank you for joining us today for the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. You can connect with us on all social media at Dr. Billy Brim, snail mail, Post Office Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615, or billybrim.org, 1-800-972-3447. Again, shalom, shalom.